This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That show is live in.
No, how about that?
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing good now.
Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone, not just ladies and gentlemen, everyone who is whoever you are and however you choose to be identified, the tent is open for all. The best show is here. What are we going to do tonight? We're going to do the most what? What are we doing? What's the topic again? Pet peeves. What? Who picked that out? I did. That's who. And that's why we're going to do it tonight. Your most unreasonable pet peeves. Here. On the best show, the phone number 201-332-3484. And that's the number to call in and get in on the action. And we got all sorts of stuff planned. And our special guest, the one and only Jason Dudio Gore, will be on the program tonight. Very exciting. And the clown prince of Bayonne, the guy who brings the yucks to all the people lined up at the green quick check, the one and only AP Mike is here as well. The full house, so why don't you come on in to the tent, which isn't a house, but you can live in a tent, right? And join us on the best show. Now, Jason, do you have any pet peeves for tonight?
I do, yeah.
Any unreasonable ones?
I don't know. The unreasonable part is a little hard for me because I feel that mine are reasonable.
Everybody kind of feels theirs are at least somewhat reasonable.
Yeah.
But you got to know when you're slightly overreacting, I guess. Is that the difference?
Yeah.
When you got to learn to let it go. So we'll focus on all of that biz and more tonight on The Best Show with our friends, the listeners. And what a great set of friends they are. And the phone number again, 201-332-3484. Mike, AP Mike, do you have any pet peeves that you'll bring up tonight?
Yes, I do have one.
Oh, there's a shocker.
I gotta think for a little bit. The unreasonable part, like Jason said, is, I mean,
it comes down to though when you know that you can maybe not indulge it, but you do.
Yeah.
I guess that's the part when we say unreasonable. Okay. Well, we'll find out what you got up your sleeve as the show goes on. Any word on the, well, we'll talk about the standees later, the cardboard cutouts that I want in liquor stores. I still haven't got any concrete manufacturer details yet, but got plenty of people done some good mock-ups.
Yeah, no, I've seen a couple. Yeah, really
good. We'll talk more about that as the show goes on. But now, without further ado, I say to you, it is time for you and me to start a show that I like to do each and every Tuesday, and that show is called The Best Show, and let's let it go. Here we go. Best Show time. Ding dong. What's up, everybody? How are you tonight? It's the best show here on a Tuesday night in May of 2021. How about that? You look back and you realize suddenly it's 2021 and here we are and we're all still hanging in there, hopefully. Hopefully you're hanging in there. That's all you can do. Hang in there, right? That's all you can do. That's what I'm trying to do. Your guy Tommy's all a little tired. He's a little tired. Why? Well, first of all, we just heard Hawkwind from their Smash album. Now, this is a funny album title. Doremi Fossil Latido. And I kind of think you're not going to get the joke on that one. But it's called Space is Deep, 1972, I believe. That's the good stuff. Back then, you picture a record label like United Artists Records being like, we got to find our Led Zeppelin. We'll sign Hawkwind. These guys could be like Led Zeppelin. So... did they? I don't know. Maybe Hawkwind, Led Zeppelin were Atlantic Records Hawkwind. Who knows? It don't matter. And I'll say this. Nothing really matters when it comes to this stuff. If you're doing the good stuff, that's all that matters. It don't matter what your band name is, what label you're on. Just do the good stuff. That's what we're doing over here, man. Best show. The good stuff. Why is that not a shirt? The best show. And in quotes, the good stuff. So, as I was saying, tonight's topic, unreasonable pet peeves that you may have, the things that get to you that you gotta, you're indulging your maybe what you would call your lower self. Is that fair to say? Where you're letting it get to you, but you let it get to you. We all got it. I got a few. We'll talk about it. So, Dudio.
Yes.
Jason Dudio Gore, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
This is one of the guys, this is one of the good guys of podcasting. I know a lot of people. Know a lot of people get caught up in the villains of podcasting, whether it be the Joe Rogans or the Legions of Skanks, whatever that's called. But this guy, he's one of the good guys of podcasting.
I'm like that. I'm known as the nice Joe Rogan.
The nice Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Yes. Jason Gore, the nice Joe Rogan.
I don't think that's good. I don't think I want to be known as that.
Jason, the nice Joe Rogan,
yeah.
Gore. Guys, you heard him. Don't make that stick.
Yeah, I don't think we should. It's going to stick now just because I.
No,
I don't
want I'm it telling. To. Jason,
yeah.
I'm telling them not to repeat it. The listeners,
yeah.
Do not repeat that.
Oh, they're going to repeat that.
No, I'm asking them.
Mike's already tweeted it, I'm sure.
If you're listening to the show, I'm asking from the bottom of my heart, seriously. This is a trap. Do not call Jason. No, seriously, do not call Jason the nice Joe Rogan.
I'd go with anti-Joe Rogan.
Okay, see, that's better. I would take that. I would take that.
Okay.
That's a good one.
And look, this Joe Rogan, he's, I don't even know what's going on over there. Wasn't this guy a comedian at one point?
I know what's going on over there, Tom.
What's that, Mike?
Steroids.
Allegedly. You don't have any
that guy's so
that.
Puffed up. It looks like his pores are going to burst open. I mean, he's like a ripe grape. I mean, he's weird looking.
Hey. You apologize.
I am jealous of his.
No, I would not. Hold on, Jake. Mike, you apologize to Joe Rogan right now. I'm sorry. Say, I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry.
No.
I'm a straight shooter, Tom. I gotta be the straight shooter.
Yeah. Oh no, this is gonna come back to my desk.
A grown man looks like a ripe grape. I'm gonna call him a ripe grape.
He has this amazing thing, and a lot of these super pumped dudes have this thing where they're so in shape that they look incredibly out of shape.
He doesn't look healthy.
No, what I mean. They don't look. They look like they're in really bad health because they're in such good health.
Yeah, he pants a lot. He seems like he pants a lot.
He looks like basically at this point he looks like a snowman if you took the middle section out. That's what he looks like. A little tiny head and this giant base. It's like, where'd the middle part of the snowman go?
The arms. You know, what's he doing with those arms? You know,
podcasting.
I mean,
he's using those arms to podcast, Mike.
Yeah. He pots up those faders harder. Like he. Now, look, I'm not going to pick on the guy. The guy's clearly a genius and is clearly doing something right. I have never heard anyone sound more confident when he doesn't know what he's talking about. This is what Joe Rogan does. He'll say, so here's how it is. You have to realize what a lot of people, like he talks in this slow, measured voice.
Yeah.
All he's doing is burning clock while his brain tries to push the next word out onto the launching pad.
I think that's the name of his next podcast. I think he should launch Burning Clock.
I mean, only
Burning Clock.
Only in America can a guy who used to encourage people to eat bugs, and now he's some sort of cultural zeitgeist. I don't get it. I mean, I can't listen to him for more than 10 minutes. I mean,
What, 10 minutes? What are you doing?
I can't do
You can get
seconds.
Through 10 minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sometimes you'll see something. Oh, he spoke to Dave Chappelle, you know.
You know, it's Pat. Pat is noticeably silent.
He is just fuming right now because he's the biggest Rogan head.
I mean, you know me. I believe in.
He's your guy.
Redemption for all, and when it comes to a class act like Joe Rogan, you know, you gotta know that. For anyone who doesn't know me, this is sarcasm, and I'm joking.
So my friends,
a clip of me.
Yeah, look, I'm gonna just say this: we're all cool with Joe Rogan here. We all like him. Seriously, or we're just teasing. We all think he's awesome. We gotta say this because his audience is maniacs. We gotta say this. I want to get clunked over the head by a kettlebell.
Are you jealous?
In Austin, Texas? Can you imagine if you owned a kettlebell shop in Austin, Texas? You're suddenly living high on the hog now. If you're in Austin and you sell kettlebells,
how many does he need though? Does he break them?
Well, he's got these. He's got his lackeys need them.
Is that his gift? Like when you do the show, you walk away with a kettlebell?
No, but these people move down there and they're just like, I'm going to be more like Joe.
So wait, that's where he's based?
He left California.
He left California. He made a big, bold statement about how now he's, it's funny how he did that. He moved out of a state with state sales tax and then moved to a state with no state tax. Not sales tax, whatever it is. He moved to a state with no taxes. Texas has no tax, right? Am I right about that?
No state tax. Yeah.
No state tax. Yeah. That's funny, right? And it's funny they moved there. He's a huge patriot. Very patriotic. These people, all they do is talk about patriotism, and they squeeze every nickel they can for themselves the last second.
That big Spotify deal and then was like, I'm going to move.
Yeah. Oh, no. Texas. It's funny. It's funny how he moved. He moved before they handed him a check.
Look, are you jealous of his bunker, though, with like all the mall bar signs in it? It looks like a barbecue joint.
No, it looks like he took over one of those railroad car diners and it tipped over somehow. Like it's at a 45 degree angle. Like it's so unappealing. That's all I want to say to you.
Does he have sidekicks?
Does he have sidekicks?
Yeah, I mean, does he have regular?
Are you auditioning?
Look, Mike, I don't.
No, I'm just curious. Anymore. I mean, I know very little about the show.
You've listened to 10 minutes of it.
I've listened to 10 minutes of it, yes.
All right, calm down. Everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. I feel like Dave Navarro doing a live finale of Ink Master when he can't even control the audience. I never saw anything. When they do these finales of a season of Ink Master, Dave Navarro goes and nobody on the show is a professional broadcaster. Literally nobody. It's Dave Navarro, these two tattoo mutants, and then tattoo artists on stage. Nobody has a background in broadcasting, so the show gets out of control immediately every time. And he has to go, okay, we got to move on. We got to move on. All right, we got to move on. Because like, he'll say, hey, so-and-so, you didn't get along with this person. Then they start arguing. It's, okay, we got to move on. We got to move on. Like, he's panicked. I love
him. Ever heard of editing? I mean, the show is edited.
Mike, it's live. There's a live finale.
Oh, it's live. Okay.
Sorry. A live finale.
Oh, okay.
Ink Master. I like tattoos. I think they are fun. Like that's the music to it. The words. I think I'd like to get me one. No, there's no words to it. I just put the dumbest words to this tough theme.
Do you have a tattoo, Tom?
Yeah, I do, Mike.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I do. It's a
tattoo. I didn't know that.
Oh, it's of you.
All these years.
It's a tattoo of you.
And where is it? The bottom of your foot?
No, it's right on. It's a giant back piece.
Okay. Like Parker's back?
Like what?
That was a literary allusion. Flannery O'Connor, check it out.
Oh, yeah, you got a check. Oh, my God. What, are we talking to Dennis Miller all of a sudden? Yeah, Flannery O'Connor, maybe you check it out. Yeah, check more like Parker's back. Kind of like Parker's back.
Good story.
Yeah, right. Yeah, good. Check it out. Oh, is that breezy one you want me to just blast through?
Yeah, blast through it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a small one, only 400 pages.
No. It's 20 pages, I think.
This guy doesn't realize I'm still working my way. It's taken me 6 months to get up to country life in this Roxy Music magazine I've been reading. I'm not reading huge books. I take everything is so slow right now. Mike, I'm recording this audiobook every night.
No, I know that's tough.
But look, I'm just going to say this. What audiobook you're asking? Oh, for It Never Ends, my book that comes out July 6th. TomWroteABook.com. Go there and you can pre-order from all sorts of places, big places, small places. The thing that you do is you go there and you pre-order it. We got something special coming up for the pre-order people. Going to announce, and it's imminent. You're going to see it, and you're going to flip. So anyway, I got no tattoos, Mike. What? We got a good call, Pat.
Full phones.
Throw me a good call, please.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Tom.
To whom am I speaking?
It is Kate Levison, Rochester.
Your first name again?
Caitlin.
Just Caitlin. Okay. Caitlin from Rochester. How are you tonight, Caitlin?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on in Rochester?
Well, I'm at chess club right now. We got two people playing on the board, and besides that, it's a pretty nice night out. Nothing.
Wait, say that again now. You're what? It's a chess club?
Yeah, I'm at a chess club, yeah.
Was this like Queen's Gambit?
It is exactly like Queen's Gambit. Is like we're all orphans. That's about like orphans playing chess, right? Like a pretty orphan girl who plays chess.
Look, this is all I need. You got any of those chess pills? They got these pills. Apparently, they make some pills that if you take it, you can know how to play chess. And I certainly would like to get my hands. I'd like to be good at chess. I don't even know anything about chess. I would love to do this with, but I'd love to get some of these chess pills as they advertised on that show so I could be good at chess too. I always wondered if I went to like a park where they're playing chess and if I was, and I just pretended I knew how to play chess. And like, I just like slide pieces wherever you slide them. Just slide them anywhere that make looks like what I've seen in movies and TV shows before. And then I just like tip a piece over and I go, okay, yeah, you got me. What would happen?
Give up immediately.
No. I'll move pieces around, but after a while, I'll make like I lost. I'll just be like, yeah, okay. And I'll tip one of the pieces over and go like, yeah, I fold. What do you say? Fold?
Like rather like the Rocky of chess, I think, where it's like you practice so much and you get really strong and you start like running around on staircases and stuff. And then you're like, oh, I train like Rocky for no reason. This is not going to help me with chess.
This ain't going to help my chess playing.
This is not going to help my chess game at all. I will not know how to impassant.
I got to get good. I got to get good at this chess. I think I can do it.
Well, you're always invited to my chess club on Tuesday night. Oh, you have a show to do.
I do. Maybe we'll do it live from Rochester Chess Club.
I don't know if I want Pat and Mike and... Who's the other one?
Oh.
His name is Fred.
Oh, I don't want Fred there. Especially not Mike, but not Fred either.
No, you don't want it.
Definitely not Fred.
Now, look, this person can... Just let me talk for 1 second. Why would you say something so hurtful to good old Jason?
Good old Jason. Jason Studio. Yeah.
You hate him? You hate Jason?
I hate him. That's such a strong emotion. I'm completely neutral. I'm just saying I'm not inviting him to my chess club.
What about?
What?
What's that?
What about Fred?
What was that? What about Fred?
Yeah. You said that about Jason. You got Mike. You got me. You got Fred.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Oh, is Fred a real guy over there?
No.
I don't want to know him at all. Keep him out of my life.
All right, you're all. Oh, I know who this is. I know who you are now. You're the one where I wasn't sure if you even liked the show or not, because you were giving me the business, right? And then your friends are just like, she loves the show so much. I got all these emails. She loves the show so much. You gotta just trust it. She loves it. She loves the show so much.
I love the show. I love it. I love it so much, Tom. It's my favorite thing to do.
When you say it like that, it sounds like you're being a little sarcastic, Caitlin.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, even that sounded slightly more sarcastic. So, Caitlin, tell me, what's a pet peeve you've got? What's an unreasonable pet peeve that you indulge?
Well, here I have two. I have two for the topic.
Let's hear it.
One, I hate the feeling of jeans on my hands. Like, jeans can be anywhere else on my body. If they touch my fingertips, I hate it.
Say that again. You hate hands.
No, I hate the feeling of jeans.
Like jeans.
You know, like denim. Like, yeah. I hate the feeling of denim on my hands, my fingertips, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you one thing you don't want to do then is crowd surf, help Jay Leno crowd surf.
Is Jay Leno always in like a Canadian tuxedo?
Yes, absolutely. He always wears a lot of denim.
I didn't know that about Jay Leno, but then again, like, I don't know much about Jay Leno.
Don't know much about Jay Leno. Don't know much about... I can't think of any talk show host that rhymes with Leno. So, okay, so you don't like the feel of denim on your hand. So do you never wear good old-fashioned blue jeans?
No, I wear jeans. I just don't touch them. Like, when I put them on, it really grosses me out.
Too. We got a robot helps you put them on? We got Wally over there?
I do it. I do not like it, though. It gives me, like, some sort of weird anxiety. Like, there's just the feel is gross. It's gross. Denim is gross feeling.
Computer, help me put my jeans on. So you don't like that. What's the other pet peeve you got?
My other pet peeve is I don't like when people are annoyed that I snore. Like, I can't control that. I'm asleep. You can't get annoyed at something I don't have control over, because then I can't be a not annoying person.
All right. Now people get mad at you for snoring. Who's getting mad at you?
You know, the people who are in my bed listening to my snores.
Mm-hmm. They hate it.
And they're always like, you snore so loud. And I'm like, yeah, well, you chose to be here.
Now, when you snore, do the covers literally go, when you go like, and breathe in, do they get pulled all the way up to your nose? And then when you go, do they roll all the way down?
Yeah, it's like a Looney Tune. It's exactly like a Looney Tune in my bed.
Okay, I'm just asking.
It moves with my breath.
Just asking. So you don't like that? You don't like... Any you ever think about getting those breathe right strips? Anything like that?
My boyfriend keeps trying to get me one of those machines that are like, what are those breathing machines called?
Tom? Iron lung? An iron lung?
No, they're like the things that you wear on your face at night. They're really embarrassing. CPAP machine?
A CPAP machine. Yes, that's right.
He keeps trying to get me one of those, and it's like not a romantic gift, so I will not allow it. That's just rude. It's rude.
Do you only allow romantic gifts?
Yep.
Okay, that's fair. I'm not judging it. Just curious.
From everybody, though, like not just my boyfriends. I expect my mother to get me romantic gifts as well as like anybody else. Friends,
Caitlin, I'm still not judging it. I know you want me to start judging it. I'm not judging it. Whatever makes you happy. Like Sheryl Crow said.
Like, wait, can you sing it to me?
No, you know the song. I don't have to sing it.
No, I need a reference point, please.
No, you can go look it up on your beloved Spotify later.
Later? I have to look up Sheryl Crow later because you told me to? You could just...
So, pretty much. Caitlin, I think you tonight are providing a few other people's pet peeves.
I'm so sorry, world.
But I'm not. Look, did I say anything? No. I think you're a great caller. I like when you call the show. And I hope you continue to call.
Sheryl Crow. I don't know what I've done. So annoying. You're the one rejecting singing me Sheryl Crow. You are the...
Hang up on Caitlin, please. It's enough's enough. I'm not here to get shoved around to this degree. Get off my phone. Good old-fashioned gomp. All right, give me another call, please. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. This is Kyle from Portland.
Kyle from Portland, Maine or Oregon?
Portland, Oregon.
And what's going on in Oregon tonight?
Well, it's a beautiful night here. I have been stuck inside. I had previously told you about my experience as a virtual audience member.
Oh, that's right. You, sir, if I can call you sir. May I call you sir?
Of course.
Sir, we love you. We love you, sir. What movie is that from, Kyle?
I have no idea.
Clifford. So, anyway... you called recently and told the tale of how you became, might as well face it, I'm addicted to being in the audience of talk shows virtually. And you put together, I watched a clip that Jason sent me of you doing your thing, and pi oh my, you are doing it.
Thank you. Thanks.
I was blown away by how thrilling it was to watch you do your thing of acting like you got problems that you don't actually have, just to talk about them on television.
Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate that.
So what's going on tonight, Kyle?
Well, so I was taping an episode of The Voice this evening. So I got right out of that.
Are you looking at your schedule? Oh, I got a voice taping at, I got to be at The Voice at 4:30. Do that. And then I got to hurry on over to Kelly Clarkson's show. I got to get on that Zoom. And then I got to blast over, be there in time to be on Comics Unleashed.
You'd be surprised, but there are actually people out there who try to do more than one show at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you finding that there is a community of like-minded people?
I see people show up to shows who I recognize. I have not reached out to them. I really hope they don't reach out to me, but there are people out there who are doing this.
Where they're like, hey, we, you know, you and I, we're on the same boat. We like going on these talk shows. We're the same. And you're like, we're nothing alike. And then you start to get mad at them.
Exactly. I fear the day that I am contacted by anybody else who does this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that you've carved out your own little piece of the pie, so to speak.
Thank you. Thank you. There's a new clip of me on Dr. Phil that's on Dr. Phil's website. It's very serious. So if you, get a chance, God, you can look that one up too.
And what are you saying on that clip? Last time you called, you were just like, boy, I don't know. I don't know if I should really go into this. Now you're like, yeah, check the Dr. Phil website out. There's a clip of me up there.
Yeah. Yeah. They did.
I'm on the Chew. You catch me on the Chew on Friday.
Yeah.
What are you saying on Dr. Phil?
So they did a show yesterday about trans issues. So it was very serious, and I asked a very serious question about how we can support trans teenagers. And they put it onto their website under there's a section that Dr. Phil does about, it's called The Bubble Over My Head.
Okay.
Asked audience members questions. I asked a question. It was very serious. It was a more serious episode. So, you know, I didn't want to be goofy or fake anything for that one.
No. So you didn't want to be goofy or what?
Or just like fake something, you know. I didn't want to come up with a fake situation.
So you actually were real?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. It's a spectrum, I'm sure, right?
It is.
Well, look, I salute you, Kyle. You're doing it. You're doing us all proud. And keep going. What's the next goal? What's the next goal for you? Is there a white whale of shows you want to get on? What's the Moby Dick of virtual television shows?
Well, I have been talking to a few producers about coming on for a segment. So there's
about that you do this, or just a segment about other things?
No, just like, you know, rather than just going in and doing a short little thing, actually going on and talking to the host and having some kind of a longer conversation.
Like about what?
Whatever they want to, really. I'm for hire. So,
God.
I can talk to them about anything.
You're pretty amazing. You're pretty amazing. I salute you, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks. I called about the topic, however.
You know, you should also see if there's any chance you do. You ever want to test snacks out? You want to try like different cookies and things?
Sure.
I don't know. I think there might be a show that has an opening for that.
Yeah, there's an opening there.
Jason, I'm still holding out hope.
Oh, I gave up hope. That's
not it. No, I'm still holding out hope. You can be back with the. She's not Dr. Drew. She's just Drew. Now, do you feel like would you appear on Dr. Drew, Kyle?
I don't think I've seen the show. He's the former MTV doctor, correct?
He is, yes. He's the former MTV doctor. It was him and Adam Carolla, and boy, oh boy, that was a pairing, a match made in heaven. It really was like the Abbott and Costello or the Laurel and Hardy of yesteryear updated with a cool modern edge. Right? Where it's like, this ain't your daddy's Martin and Lewis. So what do you got for me, my friend? What do you got for the topic?
So one of my pet peeves, I know that I'm being crazy, but this has bothered me for years. It drives me crazy when I go to work and I hear somebody trying to be funny by quoting Saturday Night Live catchphrases.
It drives you crazy when people try to do Saturday Night Live catchphrases to you? Like, what's one that they would do to you?
So, like, if they say, what did you do this past weekend? And they're like, I watch football. The Bears. I was watching The Bears.
Who's saying The Bears to you?
Seriously, this has happened to me. People who I work with.
And you can't stand when they drop these, when they get these SNL quotes wrong. The Bears.
Well, it's not even getting them wrong. It's just that they're actually trying it. You know, they're trying to be funny by just being very lazy about it. And these are also the people who expect me to laugh the loudest when they do this. So,
well, I can just say, look, I'll talk more about SNL later, but yeah, that's rough stuff. That's rough stuff, Chief.
So,
anything else?
That or, one more too. It drives me crazy when people start talking on their phone when they're standing next to me in a public bathroom.
Okay. Like, what are they talking about? Like, what have you overheard in the bathroom? Like, are they in the stall?
No, they're like standing at the urinal next to me, and they're just gabbing away to their girlfriend or something.
Mm-hmm. It's weird. It's just weird to me. It's weird that you would not be uncomfortable with it. You wouldn't be worried about just dropping your phone. They got it craned in the crick of their neck, trying to hold it in position. I don't get it. But Kyle, you know what I do get? Pleasure from every time you call.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Yeah, appreciate it.
Now you're doing it. I love it too. Let's you keep listening and you get on more of these shows and you tell me where you're getting it. I can't wait to hear about it.
I am doing it, Tom. Can't wait to tell you more.
All right. You have a grand evening.
You too. Thanks, Tom.
Bye.
And the next call, please. Hello, best show.
Hey, Tom. Blake from Lower Newbridge Heights here. How's it going?
Good, good. How are you tonight, Blake?
I'm good. Just kicking back, loving the show, listening to the teams. It's pretty fun.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a fun night. Having a good time. You're hearing other people talk about what their pet peeves?
Yes. Yeah. I love it. I've got one, if that's okay to add.
Oh, yeah. No, I would love to hear it.
Well, at the risk of sounding like a fuddy-duddy, look, I'm all for change and progress, but these current baseball uniforms, the pants specifically, I just don't see how you can't call them pajama bottoms.
For the uniform pants.
Yes. Yeah, they're so baggy. It's like how do they not trip over them?
Yeah, I know what you mean. They're like zoot suit pants from the 20s.
Yes, and it's funny you say that because if Babe Ruth or Mickey Mantle or any of those old school guys were playing now, I mean, they'd be having a heyday because they could hide like four cans of beer in their pants.
Yeah, for the guys who were more party mode back then, they would definitely have some party supplies in their pants.
Oh, yeah, it's like 80% of those guys were drunk during like all the games. I've done my research. Now you do yours.
Sure, you put that. That's fair to put on everybody else. But the with those pants, it's like you expect they're they have the walk up music when they're going to go to the plate to bat. And if I had those baggy pants on, I would probably pick that song, like one of those 40s kind of songs.
Oh, yeah. Or Zoot Suit Riot. Who did that song?
Zoot Suit Riot?
Was that the CPDs? I'm not going to say their name because it's offensive.
Wait, who did Zoot Suit Riot?
Look it up. I'll look it up.
You look it up. I'll look it up too. We'll both look it up.
All right. Racing. Race.
Zoot.
Oh, yeah, I was right. It's the CPDs.
It's the CPDs, yes. That was one of their... And now they do just go by CPDs.
Are you serious?
No,
I imagine that that might. I was joking.
Well, they're on my S hit list.
The CPDs are, yeah.
Yeah.
It's well, they had their moment in the sun.
Well, they got their asses handed to them by the squirrel nut zippers, if you ask me.
That was that really was one of those things where the CPDs just went and they thought they could go toe to toe with the Zips and
nope.
Better luck next time.
That's right. No dice.
It ain't gonna happen. Hey, no way, no day.
No day. What is that from? Because I say that frequently, and I always feel like I should attribute it to something.
I'm not sure. Is it from a movie?
I feel like it might be like mid-period Happy Days.
No way, no. Like who would have said that?
Like you know how they were always introducing like a new person for like an episode. Like there was Sticks, the drummer, and then there mm-hmm. was like Fonzie's nephew. I feel like someone like that would have said no way, no day, and they tried to get it on, but like there's only one Sid on it. Let's be honest.
Sure. Like a troubled teen would try to get them to get in line, and they'd say to Fonzie, "No way, no day."
Exactly. Yeah.
Then the studio audience would go, "Ooh,
ooh, right." Oh, I miss the oohs of the old shows. Don't you?
Yeah. I wonder if at any point during those shows when Fonzie would come to the door and for the first time in the episode and he's standing in the doorway and the audience is cheering and hooting and howling and Henry Winkler is just standing there waiting for them to stop. Like he's standing there for a good 15 seconds.
He's frustrated. He wants to start acting.
He must have been so frustrated. Exactly. He wants to start the scene because he's just like, Mr. Cunningham opens the front door and then you see Fonzie standing there. And in real life, if suddenly someone was standing there, you wouldn't stare at them silently for 15 seconds before saying, how are you tonight?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess suspend belief. I don't know.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, and then as an actor, you picture him being like, I need to play this real and I need to get to the heart of who this character is. And then the first scene he's in, he has to stand there waiting for the applause to stop.
Right, right. Yeah. Very frustrating. But yeah, I mean, he's a consummate actor. He's great on Barry. Have you seen that?
I have. Yes. He's a good actor.
Oh, he's great. He's great. Hey, well, let me get to my next peeve, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Please, please.
My big peeve is that so many people are so uptight about getting vaccinated. And I just wish everybody could relax about this, take a deep breath when it comes to getting their shots. It's like the more people who get it, the sooner we can all get back to some kind of normalcy. You know, I mean, like I've got a KISS cruise that I'm dying to go on.
You're going to go on a KISS cruise?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, there's no way I'm dying without hearing an acoustic She's So European, all right? That's just a fact.
Yeah, there's no way if you're going to go on a KISS cruise, you don't want to get on the upper deck when KISS do a makeshift acoustic set.
Yes, yeah.
Who doesn't love KISS stripped down, just all the volume and any traces of muscle on those already thin sounding records removed completely from the equation?
Well, I'll tell you, your focus is immediately taken from what you just described and placed directly onto Gene Simmons as he humps that acoustic Jackson bass
that he holds at the strangest angle you've ever seen.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, yeah.
And I like when they strip it away, then you really just get to focus on the craftsmanship of the songwriting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, I mean, I don't know if you ever heard of acoustic, but Ladies in Waiting, you know, so you've been to the market and the meat looks good tonight and the ladies in waiting will show you what it's all about. That lyric particularly shines acoustic.
Oh, I'm sure. That must just, it must just shimmer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not just shine, it must shimmer. So yeah, look, we could talk about the Kiss Cruise all night, Blake. But you are 100% right when it comes to the vaccine and people getting the shot. People do seem to need some help, though, I guess. Because some people really do get freaked out about it, and they're worried about the vaccine, and it's a good thing, and it's not something to be so scared of.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, it's interesting because that's actually what I do for a living.
Wait, what is what you do for a living?
Well, I work in the health field, and I'm sort of, for lack of a better term, a vax whisperer, which basically means I help people, you know, with their anxiety about getting vaccinated. And I do this through a series of subtle relaxation exercises. And if I could toot my horn, it's actually been pretty successful. And I go all over the Quin Cities helping people ease their anxiety about the shots.
Okay. And tell me like how?
Well, I'd be glad to give you a little demonstration if you have a moment or two.
Well, I mean, to be completely honest, I have had both shots, but I'm sure there are people listening who are anxious about this and want they're considering the vaccine, but they're anxious about it. So, I mean, I could agree to like play the role of a patient in this.
That sounds great. That sounds great. I think we can help some people.
Let's give it a shot.
All right. First, I just needed to take two deep breaths. Just one more. Perfect. Okay. Now, all right, now feel yourself relaxing a little bit more and more. All right, and you feel that relaxation in the top of your head.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And now slowly that relaxation makes its way down through your neck, down into your upper chest, slowly down into your arms. Now down into your stomach. Now into your upper haunches. Now into your lower haunches. Into your thighs. Your calves. Your feet. Right into your toes.
Okay.
Now imagine yourself in a place where you feel totally at peace. Now, this is a very personal thing. It can be anything. It can be a park, a beach you like, anywhere.
Okay.
Okay, so you're there?
I am, yes.
Great. All right, so now that you're in this peaceful place, let's bring the idea of the vaccine into the picture here. And All right, so the vaccine's your friend, all right? And it's not something to be feared. And, you know, you've had a really heavy year. And, you know, you can't really go anywhere. You couldn't really have any fun. You know, all the things you did before the pandemic, you can't really do anymore. And it's like, so it's like once you get vaxxed, you know, all that can come back. You can do whatever you want again, you know? And,
Okay. I'm relaxed.
Okay. Hey, that's $100 cash. Great. Thank you. Okay.
All right, now you're going to feel a slight jab. Okay, it's not going to hurt. All right. Okay, great. Great. Now let me just apply this Band-Aid here, and you are good to go, my friend. All right, next.
Okay, hey, what's
$100 cash.
Are you there?
All right, so you're going to feel a slight jab, and it's not going to hurt, but okay, here we go. Are you ready? Very good. All right. Okay. So let me just apply this fun Band-Aid here, and you are good to go.
All right.
Moving. All right. Please. No. No eating in line. I'm serious. If I see anyone eating, your ass is going home, and I will remember your face. Okay. So don't try me.
Blake.
Okay. That's $100 cash. Okay. All right. I'm just gonna have a slight prick here. All right, and you are good to go. All right, great.
Okay, Blake.
Yeah,
Blake.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm getting shots. Why?
What do you mean you're giving shots? What does that mean?
Oh, you know, I not only help relax people about getting the vaccine, I also give them the vaccine.
You give people the vaccine?
Yeah.
Well, where are you?
I'm at home. Why?
Okay, I'm a little more than a little confused here. So you're vaccinating people from your home?
Yeah.
Which vaccine are you using?
Pfizer.
All right, hold on. Now I'm coming out of this. Yeah, I was very relaxed. Now, so you're authorized to administer the Pfizer vaccine from your home? I mean, I've not heard it working like that at all. I didn't know that was a thing.
All right, I'll come clean. Okay, the vaccine that I'm administering, it's not technically the same formula as the other Pfizer vaccine, but it is really good.
So what do you mean by the other Pfizer vaccine?
Well, in a delicious fluke, my last name is Pfizer. It's spelled without the P, and it's actually pronounced Fitzer. But, I mean, now we're just splitting hairs, right? I mean, it's pretty much my birthright to do this.
To make a vaccine and call it Pfizer and just remove a T. Well, first things first, though, Blake. Uh-huh. What's in your vaccine?
Well, I can't say because my vaccine is it's a proprietary blend that's still awaiting patent.
Okay, so you're actually going to have your vaccine patented?
No, I said it's awaiting patent. See, I'm trying to get Patton Oswalt to tweet about it. I mean, he's got a lot of followers, and I'll tell you, his endorsement could really put me on the map and get me that coveted blue check mark. I mean, if I can get that blue check mark, Blakey's life is going to be paved with gold, and we all know it.
Well, seriously, Blake, I just got to say what you're doing here is it's very disturbing and it's very dangerous.
All right, look, truthfully, my vaccine, it's just soda water, saline solution, and a dash of Diet Sprite Extreme. I mean, it's totally harmless.
It's totally harmless, but wait, but you're charging money for it, and it's offering no protection against COVID?
Or does it?
Uh-huh. Well,
no one's complained about being infected yet.
No one's complained about being infected yet. How long have you been giving out these shots?
I started a couple hours ago.
Oh, this is... Blake, this is terrible. This is not right. You can't, I mean, you had said when you're in the health field and what exactly does that mean?
I was a janitor, nervous, and
problem with the panic like containing flavoring, misleading information about the other vaccines or the other 40 found to protest and there's a much better vaccine is.
Okay. Say, I could barely hear anything you're saying. Don't mumble it.
Yeah. I dropped my wallet. Hang on.
Yeah. You got all those hundreds in it. Of course you dropped it. It's probably heavy.
Got like $7,000 here.
Yeah.
Okay. I said, I don't know. I can't remember exactly what I said, but it was something like, I work as a janitor at Newbridge General and I publish a pamphlet containing flagrantly misleading information about the other vaccines that also features 40 completely fabricated testimonials about how much better my vaccine is. It was something like that.
Yeah. Oh, something like that. Oh, just something like that, huh? Well, that's gross. That is just so out of line and so abusive. For you to come on and act like you're some hero with the vaccine and the vaccine whisperer, but you're just selling you're making your own vaccine. Wait, what's that?
Oh no. Oh my God.
What's going on?
I'm just peeking out the front door. Oh no. Everybody in that line outside must be listening to the best show on their hut pods right now. Oh my God. It's like that scene in Dracula where the villagers are outside Dracula's castle holding torches.
I mean, I think you have the wrong movie. I think that's Frankenstein.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Dracula.
I'm pretty sure it's Frankenstein, actually. Dracula was not terrorizing the villagers and where they would storm the castle.
You know what? You are absolutely right. I'm thinking of Werewolf Academy 2.
I've never seen Werewolf Academy 2, but I'll...
Oh, you got to see it. It's so good.
You like it?
Oh, my God. So good. I'm looking for it on VHS. I've got it on everything else, but I just think it would be fun to have it on videotape.
No, that'd be cool, right? Put on a little shelf.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh no. Oh my God, Tom.
What's that?
They breached the threshold to my house. No! Oh my God, Tom, call the police. They're about to inject me with my own vaccine.
Oh, so you don't want to be injected with your own vaccine, but you'll inject them.
No, no. Uh-oh.
What?
Starting to swell up. What a time to find out I'm allergic to Diet Sprite Extreme.
Blake.
It's just like when Rick Moranis pops out the net into the big balloon man in Ghostbusters.
That's what it feels like? Well, Blake, I don't know. I guess you're going to have to go to see an actual doctor about this.
I might. It reminded me of that song from Ghostbusters. If there's something wrong, if there's something weird in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Roy Ziegler?
That's not, I heard that last week, but that's not the song from Ghostbusters. Blake? Oh, no. Oh, no. I hope they didn't get Blake. Hope they didn't get him. I think Blake might have done got. Well, so where are we, what's going on? Saturday Night Live. Everybody watch Saturday Night Live. I got to say, it was a classic episode. It was a classic. Top to bottom. I just laughed and laughed and laughed. Oh, that was a good one. What a fun program that is. And what an effervescent host Elon Musk was. What a fun guy. No, it was awful. It totally sucked. But the thing is, yeah, everybody's like, oh, Elon Musk sucked. It's like, yeah, he sure did. But guess what? And you can't just pin that one on Elon Musk. And when that one cast member was like, first, you might want to start, because he was like, what skits should I do when I'm on? And then I forget who was it, Chris Redd was like, well, maybe you could start by calling them sketches, not skits. I got bad news for you, Chris Redd. You guys did a bunch of skits on that show. Those were skits. Those were summer camp level skits. I don't know what to say. Ay, 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 ay. Did you, who here on the Best Show team watched it?
Not me.
Pat didn't watch it. He took a stand. And I noticed other people were taking stands. I noticed Z-Man, my guy Z-Man, and happy birthday to Z-Man. Of course, we love you so much, Z-Man, and we wish you nothing but the best that you had a birthday.
I was just really busy. That's why I didn't see it.
Sure. But Z-Man was like, don't watch it. He didn't want people watching it.
That's why I watched it.
That's why you did, because Z-Man said don't.
Yeah.
So then technically nobody watched it because you canceled him out. Is that what that was like?
We're both Nielsen households.
You're both Nielsen households.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's so you really held out on Z-Man there. You wouldn't give him his birthday wish.
I wouldn't. No.
And again, I also want to say on a related note, I did hear, I believe last week or 2 weeks ago, I reported that Wally Wacky Man was had died from getting multiple vaccine shots, and then he got hit by a bus. I do want to say that was wrong. I found out he is alive and well. So my sympathies. My apologies to the family for the incorrect information. Wally Wacky Man, alive and well, better than ever, some would say. Some would say better than ever. So, yeah, so this Elon Musk, he comes out, does a monologue, and I'm like, what is this going to be? Like, there's that 30 seconds where you're like, this is about to go down, and what is this going to be? And you don't know where it's going, and you're like, I don't know what is going to happen. I truly, 90 minutes from now, I'll know what happened. Right now, I don't know what happened. And you're just waiting to see what happened. And then like 90 minutes later, you're like, well, okay, that happened. Okay. Was an episode of Saturday Night Live. It stunk like 90% of the episodes. But he comes out and does the monologue. And first, he's got some interesting body language. I kind of like it. It's kind of like if somebody was operating a marionette that had like a one or two broken strings, and it like dips at odd angles and kind of lunges forward occasionally. But look, he's not a performer. He ain't no performer. He ain't no comedian. Guy's just up there doing his thing, and it stinks. But you know who else stinks? Everybody else on that show stunk. This show's so bad. The Saturday Night Live is so bad. Get this. You know, what's the guy, Michael Che? Is that his name? Michael Che?
Yes.
It's so bad that he had to go get another sketch show. He's got a sketch show on Netflix now. It's like, if you weren't sure if SNL was bad or not, Michael Che just told you. He needed to go get an actual sketch show to do sketches. He's one of the head writers on a sketch show. Is that true? He's a head writer?
Yeah.
He's the head writer on a sketch show, and he's still just like, this place sucks. I want to do some sketches. Where on earth could I do them? Not at the job I have where I'm head writer at it. I got to go get a sketch show on Netflix. Let that sink in. Let that sink in if you're wondering what SNL's all about. This dude had to go get his own sketch show. A guy who's the head writer for a sketch show. I don't know. I saw these sketches on this thing. One was worse than the next. And this fascination, SNL at some point's got to get over this fascination with talk shows. The show might as well change its name to Talk Show Parody Night. Everything's a talk show parody. Talk shows don't even look like the talk shows they're parodying anymore. Talk shows have changed. Thoughts? Anyone?
I like the SNL in years.
Okay.
You didn't watch a few years ago?
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Now, look, Mike made a statement with it.
No, he doesn't.
Jason, you got to realize he's a straight shooter.
He really is.
He's a straight shooter. He said it. He said as much. Yeah. He said he's a straight shooter. And when you're dealing with a straight shooter, the thing you got to realize, you're going to get shot.
I've been
That's
shot.
That's a straight lot. Shooters, too. That's a straight shooters, too. Yeah. They shoot. Boom, bing, dong, bing, ba-dong, ba-ding, bong, bing, bong, bing, right? Don't bring me up. Don't let me down. Right, Mike? Baby, yeah, are you singing? What's doing? Lots of other guys than me, yeah, right? Because yeah. I'm a real
straight shooter. Oh,
great. Get a real Simon and Garfunkel thing going. The two of us. I tell you, when Tom and Mike sang, it was like one voice. They just wove. The two voices just started weaving together. I couldn't tell whose voice was whose.
Yeah, I think that Atlantic Records contract was just canceled.
Yeah, Ahmet Ertegun just turned around. He was on his way over, and he's listening. He's like, "Yeah, no thanks." So yeah, so this SNL. So Jason, as someone who does watch SNL, did you watch it?
We
watched. And look, you might be exempt from this. You might have to recuse yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to recuse myself.
You recuse yourself. Am I bumming you out by talking about it?
God no.
Okay,
no.
Good.
I will.
I was going to stop. I wasn't going to stop because you know why. I'm a straight shooter.
And I just got
Mike. Shot. You're not the only straight shooter in town. So yeah, look,
I did like the one sketch on
the one where he was Wario. Yeah, no, I knew you liked that one. You were so tweeting good. About it so much.
I was like, thank you, finally a sketch I get.
Which one did you like?
I liked the mom, the Disney mom, who was just really worn out. Eggo's character. On yes, Weekend Update. That was a great one.
Character work. I could do five of those a night. I mean, God bless her. I could do five of those a night. I thought she did a good job. I could have done that and four more. I might start doing some characters now. Maybe it's time for me to go back to doing characters.
I think it's time.
Do you remember Dutch? Anybody here remember Dutch? Mike might remember
Dutch. Yeah, I remember Dutch. Dutch was great.
Dutch was Dutch. A character idea. Yeah. It was going to be a one-person show where I played a Vietnam vet named Dutch. And just like did it. It was just going to be like, really what it was going to be was just a cheap knockoff of Born on the 4th of July. But it was going to be me. Cause that's how so many people make it. Leguizamo, Whoopi. They do these. What?
Wasn't me.
Wasn't me. There he is. The Bart Simpson of the best show. Wasn't me. No, it's some of these people, they do these characters, one-person shows where they're up there doing a character. I'm going to start doing characters. You've done them, Jason.
Oh, yeah.
You've done them.
Jason Gore's Midlife Crisis, available online.
Jason Gore's Midlife Crisis. I might have to start doing – I'm going to have to do my own show where I'm characters. One will be Dutch where I'm just like, this country is on trial. Like, I'll just yell like – America, you abandoned. Like, I'll just like make it very heavy and serious. And then I'll do like a character to like lighten it up. Like, after everybody's like, wow, that was so heavy. And then I come out just like, hear like, you'll hear like Airplane by Red Hot Chili Peppers, like some music kids like we playing. And I'll come out. Hey, bros, what's up? I'm a skater dude. Hey, my name is Wheels. I'm a skate dude. What's up? And I have a backwards baseball cap. Right? I'll just be like, I love going to the skate park, doing some ollies, doing a 360. That's what I do, dude. And then I like to party. But then I'll talk. Then it'll shift. And I'll be like, I didn't talk about how my skateboard buddy, Stretch. He's not here anymore. He's gone. Stretch just left. And it's been hard ever since Stretch left. And I don't want to go to the skate park as much anymore. Cut to black. Hard cut to black.
So that's two characters.
It's two characters.
For a half hour sketch show, you probably need, you probably need four more.
Who said it's a half hour long? It's 3.5 hours.
You need at least 18 more characters.
Yeah, I'll come up with them. I'll come up with 18 more. It's a sketch show. It's going to be 3.5 hours long. We're going to do it at the UCB Theater out on 40th Street, whatever that is.
Oh, that's gone.
No, we're going back in. I found an open window. I'll just lay out, I'll put one of those yellow and black signs they do for filming purposes where I'll just say like, it'll say like TSUCB with an arrow pointing to the, like, follow this arrow. So I'll do Dutch, the Vietnam vet. I'll do Wheels, the skateboard enthusiast, right? And then I'll do one where I'm like, I'm a baby. I'm a baby. Goo goo gaga.
I played a baby.
What's life going to be like? I'm a baby and I'm so excited about life. And then a newspaper will get set down in front of me. I'll be like, people are dying. Other people are hungry. They're not eating food. They can't get food. People don't have homes. Cut to black.
Now you need like a pick me up. You need a palate.
You don't think Wheels? You don't think Wheels would cut it?
No, I think that they're all pretty emotional and dark.
Look, this baby thing. I'm going to be going goo goo gaga and talking about diapers, all that stuff.
No, it's nice at first, but then when you cut to the people are dying part.
Okay. You don't think? Okay. Then I'll do a character where I'm like, I'm 100 years old. I'm rich. I'm the richest man, and I built up my fortune. And I tell everyone what to do, and they work for me. And I'm a mean old boss. And then I'll find a newspaper and be like, people seem to be having a hard time in these days in this life. They're dying. They're hungry. They don't have homes. Cut to black hard. I think these are all different enough, right?
Yeah, no. What is that? Four?
That's four.
Okay. 16 more?
16 more.
But how about a guy online at a music festival?
Hold on. Did you call these skits, Pat?
I said you need some skits as well.
I need some skits. I need some like interstitial music to like bridge the thing where suddenly be like I'll be up on stage and suddenly hear like do no 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 no. Left, we got the winner's disease. One play left, we got to get. And when the night is calling,
that's a good transition.
You cannot find a friend. Right? no, you got the music in you. And I'll come out, maybe I'll come out as the guy from New Radicals in a bucket hat. I'll be like, hey, dudes, I'm the guy from New Radicals. You only get what you give. One step left, right? And then I'll find a newspaper. Man, the world is tough these days. Maybe the newspaper is the problem.
Well, I think that's the thread now. I think the show is just called The Newspaper.
I thought the show would be called Tom Sharpling's Cavalcade of Characters.
So the newspaper is a surprise for people.
The newspaper, yeah. The newspaper is a surprise. And Mike, you were saying I'm online for a concert?
How about you're at a music festival?
Mm-hmm.
You're a guy online for the porta potty. Go.
I'm a guy online for the porta potty. Man, I wish this line would go faster. I really got to go to the bathroom, and I don't want to miss Snow Patrol. Man, if I miss Snow Patrol, I'm going to flip. I'm going to flip. And I used to say, I'm going to flip. And that's my name is Flip. They call me Flip because when I get upset, I flip out. Man, if I miss Snow Patrol, I'm going to flip out. And then I hear off in the distance, it ends with Snow Patrol. I can hear them playing off in the distance. What's a Snow Patrol song?
You're asking me?
What was
that? Asking anybody.
Chasing police cars or something?
Chasing cars. Is that Snow Patrol?
What was the Snow Patrol song?
They have the song Snow Patrol.
We are the Snow Patrol, and we're here to rock and roll. We're gonna have some fun tonight. Our name is Snow Patrol. It's time to rock and roll. It's time to have some fun, all right? Snow Patrol. Everybody want to tell you about Snow Patrol. I want to get with the thing with the Snow Patrol.
That's their opener.
That's it. That's
The opener. And then, okay, so then, oh, man, Flip is missing it. I'm going to flip out. And then I run the porta potties open. I got to hurry. I run in. And I go in, and then a door opens, and I come out, but now I come out slowly, and I'm holding a newspaper.
Ripped.
I was like, a ripped newspaper. I was like,
no toilet paper.
I was just checking this newspaper out. The world is a messed up place. People are dying. People aren't getting food. Cut hard to black.
Can newspaper have been on your foot and you realize it's like, wait, what's this? And
yeah, maybe that's it. Exactly. I look down, I realize what's on my foot?
What if we
I'm gonna flip out. Something's on my foot. What is it? It's a newspaper.
What if you go into the Port-a-John mm-hmm. and then the Port-a-John turns on stage so we get the view of you in the Port-a-John as Flip? So you can look down.
That's
and
pretty
see.
Good. That's good. It's going to call for some production value.
But, oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot of newspapers.
And then what if I play I'll play a five-year-old girl. I should probably play the coronavirus at some point.
Yeah.
Can you do Cuomo?
What's that?
Can you do Cuomo?
I should do Cuomo. Yeah, I'll do so. Like, I'll work a real character in. Should be Andrew Cuomo?
Chris.
Chris Cuomo?
Maybe if you flip between the two, like you're turning around, like one side of you is dressed one way.
Yeah, it's like Victor Victoria.
I'll do the Victor Victoria with Andrew and Chris Cuomo. Perfect. And then they'll both start arguing, and I'll be going back and forth and back and forth. Then a newspaper will fall from the rafters and land on the stage floor. I like this. This is good. This is good. Tom Sharpling's Cavalcade of Characters at the abandoned UCB Theater. Christmas Day. Right? Should I start on Christmas Day? Because theater will be back by Christmas.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
Tickets go on sale October 1st. They'll line up at that TKTS booth. They're in Times Square. It's the only way you can get tickets for the show.
Yeah, you can't get them online.
No, online, at the theater box office, none of those are available. I love it. Let's plan on it. Yeah, so look, SNL, people got twisted about it. It's like, there's been about 100 people who've truly ruined the planet that have hosted that show. 100. There's been about 100 cast members that have truly ruined the planet. Whatever. God bless you, SNL. I wouldn't work there, actually. What am I saying? I wanted to. Can you imagine what a bad fit that would have been? Ay, ay, ay. Imagine me writing a skit at 4:30 in the morning. Bad news, Jack. Sometimes it works out the way it's supposed to work out. I ain't supposed to be there. So, Pat, we got another call, please.
Full phones.
And let's figure, we are going to wrap up in a half hour because I do have to save my voice. I'm recording the audiobook for It Never Ends, which comes out on July 6th. But I need to save these pipes. I got to save the pipes, everyone. I can't blow them out on the best show. Okay, here we go.
Imagine what a bad fit that would have been. Ay, ay, ay.
Wait, well, who's that? Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, it's Matthew from Minnesota.
Matthew from Minnesota. What's up, Matthew?
Not much. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on, Matthew? Don't take this the wrong way. You on the younger side of things?
I'm like in the middle currently. I'm 13 years old currently.
You're 13? Matthew, I got news for you. You're on the younger side of things.
Yeah.
Compared to like Willie Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the older side of things. A 13-year-old's not in the middle.
Okay. What would you consider the middle then?
Maybe like it'd be 45 is the middle.
45?
Yeah. Life can be short, but life can be long. Matthew, so what's going on, Matthew? Well, what's going on? Are you zooming it for school still?
Oh no, I am currently in the school, but I don't know if it's going to work out so well. They're like half of the kids in the class are gone for like almost all my classes. So I don't know if we're going to get sent back to Zoom. I don't want to get sent back to Zoom.
You like being there with your friends?
Yeah.
What's your favorite subject, Matthew?
That's hard.
First one that comes to mind. First thought.
First thought? Probably superheroes. I'm a big fan of like Marvel and DC and stuff like that.
Wait, they teach superheroes in your school?
Subject, like in school.
In school, yeah, not in life, in school.
Definitely art.
Okay. What do you like to draw? You like to paint?
Yes.
What are you good at?
I'm good at mostly just sketch. I have a massive art book.
Master of art. Is that you? Are you the master of art?
I'm not the master of art. Not even close. I still have a lot to learn.
I like it. I think you've got the right attitude, though, my friend.
Thank you. I believe we have actually talked before about, do you remember, I was the person who called in about Alf versus Elf, the play.
That was Alf versus Ulf?
Elf.
Elf, that's right. Alf versus Elf. I do remember that.
Yeah, I asked the school to make us a play. And they said it would be funny, but no.
No?
No, they didn't do it.
Well, we could get them next time, right? You and me, we'll get them next time.
Mm-hmm.
Elf versus Elf. It was there for the taking. It's their loss.
Yeah.
So you got some for the topic, my friend? Do you have a pet peeve? Is there a pet peeve in your life?
Yes, one of my biggest pet peeves is I cannot concentrate if I smell gum, like mint gum, mostly minty.
You don't like mint gum, eh?
No, I do not. I don't like the taste of it. Whenever I smell it, I cannot think straight.
You can't think straight if you even smell mint gum.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay. Well, I get it. What do you do when they're chomping it near you? Do you run away?
I don't run away. I just try to, focus on it mostly.
You try not to focus on it?
Or something. Because they give away mint stuff, candies, whatever, during tests.
What kind of gum do you like?
I like the watermelon extra gum.
You like watermelon, huh?
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that? It tastes nothing like watermelon. Isn't that weird? Where do they come up with these flavors where they're just like, yeah, this is watermelon? It's like, no, this is a series of chemicals that you're calling watermelon. It has literally nothing in common with watermelon.
Uh-huh. It's like some mystery thing. It was not good. Trust me. They came out like a mystery gum.
Be like, you want some mystery gum? You ever eat those jelly beans that you ain't sure what flavor they are, and then you look and it says toilet on it or barf?
Oh, like the gross gummies, I think they're called.
Yeah.
Or I'm not sure.
Who's talking back there? Is that who's talking?
I know what you're talking about. I have.
Is there an adult talking in the back?
Oh, yeah, it's my stepdad Mike is here.
Who's there?
Oh, my stepdad Mike. We're currently outside. Okay. We're outside of our house currently. Want to say hi, Mike?
You get along with Mike?
Yeah. We love listening to the show together. It's the best.
Okay, here's what I want you to say to Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Ready?
Yeah.
Hold out. I want you to hold your palm or your hand out, right?
Okay.
Say, hey, Mike, what's wrong with this picture?
What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah, do it. Now do it. Let me hear it.
Okay. Hey, Mike, what's wrong with this picture?
I don't know.
You could put some money in this hand. I don't know. Put some money. I need some money in my hand. That's what's wrong with it.
Yeah, I need some money, Mike. Where's the money?
Yeah.
Money, Mike.
Okay, here's a drop a 50 in my hand, cheapskate.
Come on, drop a 50 in my hand, Mike.
Call him cheapskate. Gotta call him cheapskate.
All right, come on, cheapskate. Where's the money? Money.
Why is this literally the funniest thing I've ever? Look, Mike seems like a good guy.
Yeah.
And you, hopefully he will drop a 50 in your hand, but don't get too twisted if he doesn't. Well, look, try to stay away from the gum. Try to keep chomping down the good stuff, the watermelon gum. And you call me anytime you want.
Of course. I'm thinking of calling in next week.
You think about it. You give it some thought, and if you decide to, then we will talk next week.
All righty.
All right, have a good night.
You too, Tom.
Night. Bye. All right. Next call, please.
Well, stay away from the gum.
Beshel, hi.
Keep chomping down with this glass of water.
Hello.
Michelle, hi.
Hello.
Hello, hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Jeff in Austin.
Jeff?
Yes, Jeff in Austin.
How are you, Jeff?
I'm doing fine, doing very well.
It's good to hear from you, Jeff. What's going on in Austin tonight?
In my garage, making some ceramics and pottery, listening to the best show. It's a pretty good night. It's raining out. It's cold. So that's all good.
That sounds like a good night. Now, when you go, when you're in Austin, are the Austin city limits literally a concert? Is that where those concerts take place? At the edge of town?
At the edge of town. No, it's like right in the middle, right in the middle. So it's kind of a misnomer.
It's kind of false advertising, eh?
Yeah, maybe when it started out, it was maybe, you know, because Austin was a lot smaller when it started out. So maybe back then, before I lived here. So I'm not sure.
Now, what are you doing? Are you doing your part to keep Austin weird?
I mean, you know, I'm trying. I'm an art teacher, a high school art teacher. So okay. I do my best, but it's hard work.
Are you Zooming it with the kids or are you face? You're in Texas. You're probably all face to face.
Well, it's like half and half. Well, not even half and half. I would say like 2/3 are Zooming it in and then the other 1/3 are in person. So I'll have like some classes with literally one kid in there, but maybe some have like 6 kids in there.
Maybe that's when you got to keep it weird. You got to say, maybe a, what if you wore a mask upside down on your head or you wore 2 masks? Say like, I'm weird. I got 2 masks on. Keeping Austin weird.
Yeah, it's, you know, because I don't make them like turn their cameras on. So it's just kind of like all these names, all the remote learner kids are, it's just their names. So it's kind of like weird. I just get this weird constant flop sweat. Because I just don't know if they're reacting to me, like what they're, if they're even there asleep or playing video games or what. But it's kind of driving me crazy. So I'm glad the year will be ending soon, this weird year.
That's good. And you read, then you pick it up in September and maybe you start over again and maybe things will be a little better.
I hope so. I really hope so. This has been a, everyone's just kind of done with this year. Students and teachers.
You know, it's a, you know, it's a pet peeve. I have an unreasonable pet peeve. I have, is, if I like hold the door for somebody and then they walk through and they don't say thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's not the end. Is it great? No, it's not great. But is it something I should get irked about? No, I shouldn't hold the door if I'm going to be irked about stuff like that.
Do you think it's worse to be the person who just doesn't hold the door? Like, you know, like,
That would definitely be worse.
Yeah. That's the one that always, like, I grew up in Canada. So I have like an, you know, I'm a little obsessed with politeness and it's just like when someone does not hold a door for me, it just feels like the most insulting, like just, you know, aggressive. It feels very aggressive to me.
That they didn't hold the door for you.
Yeah, like especially if I'm like right behind them. It's like if I'm, you know, like 15 feet away, that's one thing. But if I'm like right behind them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. No, I'll sometimes go, you're welcome.
Yeah, right.
And then what does that make me? What am I at that point?
I don't know. You're just frustrated because you have higher expectations for society. You're just not getting, you know, the satisfaction of dealing with other humans. You know, you hold, you're just expecting more from them than they're giving.
Yeah. Oh, really, you know, we try.
Person in a way.
Well, what are we, going to do? What about you? Do you have any pet peeves?
I do. I have they're really stupid, but I guess that's the kind of point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That they're small, but they get to you anyway.
Yeah. Like I hate when like people abbreviate like words that are already really short. Like za, I think is like the quintessential one for me. Like when people call pizza za, like that just immediately irks me.
Mm-hmm.
Like flying into a rage, but it just like does irk me. It just like doesn't sit well with me. Or like in Texas, you know, there's the Astros. People call them the Stros. Like that makes it sound so terrible. Like
it's like just, you removed one letter from it.
Right. It's like 2 syllables. Yeah. Go that extra mile with it. And like Stros just sounds awkward. Like Astros just flows better than Stros, right? Like it's just like they're, I guess it's like a, maybe, you know, I'm not a big sports guy, but maybe you can speak to this. But like, you know, it's like sports people just really, really want to get familiar with their teams and their players. And, you know, I don't know. So they come up with these weird nicknames and abbreviations.
So these abbreviations drive you nuts.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, they irk me too, my friend.
Yeah.
Like,
it seems like forced whimsy, you know? Like when it's like when people call McDonald's Mickey D's or something like that. It's just
which is Mickey D's, McDonald's Mickey D's, three syllables, same effort.
Yeah, same thing.
And it also, what it does is it makes McDonald's like it's your friend or something.
Yeah, right. It's like,
I'm going to Mickey D's. McDonald's ain't your friend.
Right. It's nobody's friend.
Oh, he's my friend.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I'll say, look, I'm with you on that. There's an overabundance of casualness in every form of everything that you're just like, you're like, really? I gotta have a casual name for pizza. One of the most casual foods ever. And the name is pretty casual in and of itself. Pizza. Right. That's a pretty casual, fun name.
Right. Yeah, it sounds fun right off the bat, out of the gate.
Yeah. I also, you know what gets me is the when people say it's the blank of it all. Like, well, they'll say, like, well, the Knicks are doing well because of the Julius Randle of it all. And you're like,
oh.
Well, you can't just say, like, they're doing well because of Julius Randle.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something, there's a weird thing where everybody kind of talks like they write for a website now.
Right.
Like they write like they're writing website headlines. But then, look.
Just like Twitter or like social media just like propagates that kind of these like, you know, just, I don't know. Like again, the like forced whimsy, the like the fake cleverness or I don't.
Yeah. And look, it's okay. Don't bug me that much. Just little things. So, yeah, we're on the same page, my friend.
I'm glad to hear it, Tom.
All right. Well, you have a grand evening, and thanks for the call.
You too, sir. Thank you for everything, Tom.
Well, sir, I like that.
Have a good night.
Yes, sir. No, sir. Where do I go, sir? What do I do, sir? Right? You know that song? Jason knows that song. Jason knows it.
Yes, oh, yeah, sir, Kinks.
No, yeah, Kinks. Mike doesn't like stuff like that. It's short. It's not. First of all, it's not originally written in the 50s and then played terribly in present day. So he has an issue with that. It's not 49 minutes long. And it doesn't have somebody screaming about a staring in a window or whatever that one guy in the. Well, that one guy in the Grateful Dead was always like, staring in a window, climbing up a ladder, starting to peep, starting to creep. Whatever his deal was. Pat, how many more calls?
Just two. I put the blocker on after we started.
Perfect. That is exactly what I would like you to have done, and you did it. So what's a pet peeve of yours, Pat? A pat peeve, I guess we would call it, huh?
Mm. Or a pat peeve would be people.
And would you want that to be a segment of the show? Like, all right, it's time for pat peeves.
And the answer is yes. But okay. The debut of Pat's peeves would be people.
Pat peeves.
Thank you. Just people that don't push in their chairs, especially in public places. Like I used to work at a coffee shop and it had narrow ways to get to the only bathroom. And, you know, I remember venting about it to my then boss. And I was like, these people don't push in their chairs. Like they, you know, they didn't learn this growing up, the manners, blah, blah, blah. And then like, he was eating at his own cafe a few days later and he got up and went to the bathroom and he didn't push his chair in, and I'll never forget it. And I was just like, this guy, you know, is selfish. I don't know.
Yeah. And did you tell him?
No, I just kind of in my mind gave him like a little, you know.
Yeah, I gotcha. I hear you.
And then I guess that's more of a reasonable one, but you know, I also have just some quirks about me. And this might be just on the mental health side, but like if someone were to greet me and pat me on the back or just tap me on the arm and say, "Hey, you know, what's going on?" My mind goes crazy unless they tap me again. Like I need two taps. That's completely
two tap that.
But like I need two instances of touch if there's going to be any sort of, "Hey, how's it going?" Or like, I'm just like, "Ooh," my mind starts crawling. Like I go crazy. Mm-hmm. I go nuts.
We were all doing well after the Lufthansa heist. You had two tap pat.
Yeah. Or anything. It doesn't have to be two. It just has to be more than one. Like
yeah.
even when my dog walks by, mm-hmm. bless her heart, she shows, you know, compassion.
Taps you twice.
Through her tail. She shows her affection through her tail. God bless her. I love this dog so much. But like if she's excited and she wants to give you a couple whaps on the tail, I'm like, I'm all for it. But if she walks by me,
gives you one, you're like,
gives me one, I'm like, "Hey, I need you to come back here and whap that tail again."
Yeah.
It's crazy. And
I get it.
Completely unreasonable. It's my own mental health battle, but it is real. And the alarms go off for no reason upstairs. Yeah.
I'm on your side, Pat.
You know?
Yeah. How about you, Mike? I know you said that you don't think yours are insignificant.
Well, I mean, it could be lack of patience. I was at the post office today sending out some merch.
Okay.
Sending out a headshot to Iceland.
Soon you'll be mailing out these cardboard cutouts. Because we are. I'm serious about this.
No, I need that's not going to work out. I mean, every post office worker will hate me.
Mike?
When I get to the counter, they will stare at me and it will say, "What is this?"
Then we'll figure that out. Then we'll figure that out. I'm telling you. If we could figure out a way, maybe we'll ship them right from the factory then.
Maybe a roll-up poster. I don't know.
No, Mike, these things have to be cardboard, life-size cardboard. You said you have a connection for it, Mike. Come on, give me the standee connect.
I'm gonna call him Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I need some prices.
So anyway, I'm in the post office.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Iceland. I think this is the first headshot I've sent to Iceland. I've got a flag in Iceland, Tom.
So someone went to apmike.bandcamp.com. God help me. For saying that, and ordered one of your headshots, and
the Warhol headshot.
What's that?
The Warhol one. I do a little artwork.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I'm waiting online, and there's a woman at the counter, and you know, God bless her. It's probably the only person she spoke to during the day, but she's having a lengthy conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And on any line, you have to be aware of your surroundings. If I'm online and there's people behind me, I'm not going to chat with the person at the counter. I want to get done as quickly as possible. And this woman just could not get that together. Okay. She was chatting. She was fumbling. She didn't have her money ready. I mean, it was a good 15-minute encounter with the clerk.
Okay.
And you know, the line is growing as this continues. I uttered a "Oh brother" beneath my neck gaiter, and it was low. I don't think she heard me, but I was losing my patience, so it was a pet peeve. Similarly, I like to be considerate to other people. When I'm in a theater, Jason has witnessed this. I will not be the guy who takes the first seat on the aisle when the row is empty.
This is true.
Mm-hmm. So everybody has to climb over me as they get into the row.
You go about five in.
Yeah, and it can cost me. It, you know.
But let me get a visual on this. What are you doing?
I go to the middle of the row when the row is empty, rather than be the guy who sits in the first. You know, the guy who wants to get out quickly. I understand. You know, you sit on the end of the aisle, on the last seat on the row, so you're right on the aisle to get out.
So Mike,
you know, you get the quick escape.
Mike did this at my show,
and I paid the price.
When he came to see it, he came in, and I look out. I always would look out at the audience before I did a show, just to see what it looks like. And all I see, Mike, he's about five or six seats in with a whole like Midwest family sitting next to him, like four children,
yeah.
Two parents,
and a 9-year-old next to me.
Yeah,
because you had to sit where you needed to sit.
I tried to be considerate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole family was able to get in to that row altogether.
Okay.
They didn't have to split up into different rows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did this.
Look, that's considerate.
I did this at a Kate Winslet. She did a personal appearance at NYU. My brother had there was some sort of movie series going on there, and there'd be a speaker before the movie, and I did that for Kate Winslet. And I'm in the middle of the row. The place is packed out. There's not an empty seat in the theater. And she just bored me to tears. Tom, it was so tedious. She was talking about her personal life, things going on, and it wasn't interesting. I wanted to slit my throat. It was so boring. But I was locked in. You know, I couldn't get out. I wasn't going to be the guy that climbs over 20 people because, you know, this thing is killing me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, I paid the price for being so considerate.
Sure. You got trapped.
I got trapped.
Yeah.
And I had to pay the price.
So never again.
Well, no, I'm always going to do it because I'm not going to be that jerk.
But you won't at least be strategic about it.
It's annoying to have to get up every time somebody wants to sit in a row. I mean, that's annoying too. But
no, I don't know what to tell you. You got your thing and you pay a price for your thing.
Yeah.
All right. And Jason, you have any ones that come to mind?
Yeah, I got a couple. I don't like, you know, when you're at a rock show and those dudes, like, you know, the crowd's pretty full. And I don't like the dudes like, excuse me. And they push by you to get to the front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't like those guys. And they come back out. They like, you are that walkway.
They've established the path they're taking.
Yes.
And they walk that path. And
it's like I'm a marker, like big dude, go that way.
Yeah. Well, now I get that. I don't like it. It seems like I'm always the one. Seems like I'm always in the path somehow.
Yeah.
I don't get it. So that gets you.
That gets me. TV shows that, you know, you've done a few times, you had some fun, and then they ghost you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
sure, that gets to you. I can understand that.
It gets under the skin.
Oh,
you had a really fun time.
Mm-hmm.
You ate some snacks together. Everyone enjoyed it. And then nothing.
I hear you. Look, I'm with you. I'm with you. Look, it's not over.
Oh, it's done.
It's not over.
Yeah.
You're coming back. I got a good feeling about this.
We'll see.
You're coming back.
What shows are in LA?
What's that?
What shows are in LA?
You're
I didn't
coming
talk
back.
To Kyle.
You're coming back. You and Kyle can figure it out. Well, look, everybody's got their things. You're doing good. We all got them.
Jason's going to get a call the day he moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, hey, can you do Drew?
Yeah. Mark my words, the day or the day after.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. No, I hear you. But look, I think it's going to work out. Pat, give me another one of these calls, please, and we'll wrap it up. I got to save these pipes for the It Never Ends
audio book being recorded now. Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom?
Hi.
Hi.
To whom am I speaking?
This is Keith in Lancaster, PA.
Hi, Keith. What's going on in Lancaster tonight?
I didn't think I was going to get through. I've listened to the show for a while, but I work early in the morning, so this is the first time I've actually called in or listened real time. So I know you want to finish the show. You'd probably prefer I skip to the topic.
My friend, it's you. It's me. We're talking. You don't worry about anything. What's going on?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to tell you that last week I was going to stay up and I was going to call in, but I was like, I got to get up at 5:30, and I went to bed. And then I dreamed about the Best Show. Like, it felt like all night. It was really weird. And the weird thing was, it was like you had a party in your house and you lived in a derelict mansion. And there were just people in mascot costumes. I'm not making this up. This really was my dream. And I had to use the bathroom, and your bathrooms were all either out of service or in glass boxes where everybody could see you. That was terrible.
Well, that's a weird dream. That's a weird one.
And I maybe wasn't going to mention the dream, but one of my favorite albums has the lyric something like, nobody wants to hear about your dream, let you dream about them. And I thought, well, I dreamed about Tom, so maybe I could tell Tom about the
dream. And what album is that?
Perfect From Now On, from Built to Spill. Do you know that band?
I do know that band. I never got all the way in. I like the stuff I know, but I never got all the way in.
A lot of people never get all the way in, and that's okay. So, but yeah, I'm happy that I'm talking to you, and I do have one for the topic.
What do you got? Let's hear it.
Well, it drives my family crazy, but when I'm watching TV, most of it's filmed in Los Angeles, and I've traveled a lot. I was in a band that toured, and so I...
What band? Do I know the band?
No, I don't think you know the band. I really probably played with many bands that you know, but I don't.
Who's the biggest band you played with?
Oh, man. I don't know. We were in the mid-2000s. We were opening for a lot of people. We played with bands like Coheed and Cambria and all of that sort of band. Sure. Trying to think who else. I don't know. That doesn't matter. I don't want to.
Okay. All right. You don't want to talk about it? That's fine.
No, I don't know. When you were talking to Jay Maskus, I had forgotten until you were talking to him that we had a manager back.
Did I actually talk to Jay Maskus? I'm still not sure if I did.
A little bit. I enjoyed that show a lot.
Well, good. I did too. All kidding aside, I did enjoy it. He held back a little bit on me, but you know, what are you going to do?
At that time we had a manager that had told us that if our little indie label would put up the money, they would get us on tour with Dinosaur Jr. And I didn't know that was the sort of thing people did, but our label was like, no thanks. So that would have been cool, but
okay. Yeah. Well, look, you have your weird dreams. Tell me the thing though. What do you got for that?
Well, so if I'm watching television and a show is set somewhere and I can see, I'm like a nature nerd kind of person. So mm-hmm. I know trees and stuff, and I can see the trees in the background and the plants in the background. And I just know that it's all Los Angeles.
Sure.
It drives me nuts. Like, so even if it's not a palm tree, it's like all of those eucalyptus trees that are everywhere in Los Angeles, or it's like that same park where they film everything that's supposed to be in the woods. Mm-hmm. It makes me crazy, but my family and everybody around me just has no patience for my irritation at like Parks and Rec, The Office, any of those kind of shows, I just see it, and I know that it doesn't matter. I know it's suspension of disbelief, but I can't stand it.
No, you got to get past it, my friend.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, like when you see the what's supposed to be like Korea for MASH, and then you're like, yeah, those are just hills in California.
Yeah, it's like looks like Ventura County or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Well, that's a good one.
It blocks my enjoyment of the show, and I know that that's my problem, not that it their problem. So.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. Yeah. All right, buddy. Thanks so much for the call.
Hey, thanks for talking, Tom. Have a great night.
Good night. Final call. Best show, hi.
They hung up, Tom.
Well, Pat, would you look at that?
Did he?
Is that a Pat peeve?
It might be. Thank you, Jason. Did that last caller mention what band he was in?
He did not.
Built
he
a spill.
Clearly did not want to.
Okay.
He was in Built to Spill.
He was not in Built to Spill.
That he made me think of another pet peeve, though. Pat peeve.
What's that?
When you're watching the first episode of the first show that, you know, like when a show is new and it's the first
a pilot.
Yeah, a pilot, even just like first couple episodes, and they're just like they're just laying on the exposition like way too hard, where it's just like you're like, we get it. You know, like you don't have to explain this much. It's just like excessive. It seems sure. Like it's getting worse on shows.
And I always love on a show like that, Pat, when somebody's like, well, what are we going to do, baby brother? Like they say these things that no one would ever say in real life, where they're just like, well, look at you, the winner of the best journalism award last year. And what are you doing with yourself now? Like they,
yeah,
no one's ever spoken like that ever.
Ever. Yeah. And it drives me nuts.
I hear you. I'm with you. Pat, you know what's going to drive me nuts? Ending the best show earlier than I like to because I got to save these pipes.
Save the pipes.
Thanks. Save the pipes. Well, my friends, the time has come. The best show must say farewell for another Tuesday night. We will be back next week, and we got a great show planned for you, some good fun in the pipeline. And I salute all of you who called tonight, and I thank everybody, and we will be back next week with more hilarity. So thanks for listening, and remember, TomWroteABook.com, that's where you go pre-order. It Never Ends. Got a special thing coming. It is imminent for pre-order. So hang tight, and I will talk to you next week. And I wish you nothing more but all nothing but the best. And bye-bye.